Welcome to the Christian Crusaders Radio Ministry. We thank all of you listeners who helped us celebrate our 65th anniversary this month. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
If you had an opportunity to spend 60 minutes with any person who has lived, who would he or she be? We'll talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, keep this nation under your care. Bless the leaders of our land, that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to other nations of the earth. Help us elect trustworthy leaders, contribute to wise decisions for the general welfare, and thus serve you faithfully in our generation to the honor of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourself." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thank you.
Friends in Christ, if you were given the opportunity to spend 60 minutes with any person who had ever lived, who would he or she be? I imagine that if you are a musician, you might say Johann Sebastian Bach. I'd like to have an hour with him and ask him about certain works that he had written. If you are in the literary field, you might say what a thrill it would be to visit with William Shakespeare. If you are a historian, you might say I've specialized in the life and the work of Abraham Lincoln. I'd like to visit with him about what went on in the depths of his soul and mind when he led this country through such a perilous time. I heard this question asked once on the radio or television, and I was astounded when somebody said, if I had a few minutes to talk to anyone who had lived, I probably would choose Adolf Hitler. Then this person went on to say, it is not that I am an admirer of what he did. He has to be one of the most evil men who has ever walked on this earth. But what I'd like to ask him would be this. How could a person such as you do such evil things to so many people? What goes on in your life? What motivates you? How could you send all of those people to the concentration camps? I thought of that too when my wife and I came out of Dachau, one of the Nazi concentration camps. What a horrible thing. How could any human being ever think of treating people that way and sending them to their death in such an awful, awful manner? Well, enough of that. Your answers would be interesting. You might ask yourself this. If you had 60 minutes to spend with any person who has ever lived, who would he or she be? Well, my answer is obvious, I'm sure. I would choose to spend that hour face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. I would do that because in my mind, the basic truths of the Christian faith are so very, very clear. We have no questions about them whatsoever. But for me, there are questions regarding the Christian faith that I would like to have answered. I'd like to have some answers regarding this whole matter of the will of God. And so what I'm going to do today is begin the first of a series of three sermons on what would I ask Jesus if I had an opportunity to spend an hour with him. Now, I know that we can spend a lot of time with Jesus. We communicate with him through prayer, and he speaks to us very, very clearly in his word. But it's one thing to read a letter from a loved one. It's another thing to sit around and eyeball to eyeball discuss what's on your heart. The first question I would ask him would be, I would like to know, Lord Jesus, what is my relationship with other people? How am I to handle them? And I think that he probably would come back and say, well, you have a real responsibility. In the word that I have read today, he said, look, things that cause people to sin are bound to come. If you live in this old world, there are all kinds of temptations. But because you are one of mine, woe to you if that person should stumble because of your action. It would be better for him to be thrown, or you to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around your neck, than for you to cause one of these little ones to sin. In other words, here our Lord is saying, and he has said it in so many other places, and I'm sure that in a face-to-face talk, he would say it to us again, I want you to be a verbal witness for me. I want you to clearly teach that I am the way to heaven. I want you to tell these people that God the Father has loved them so much that he sent me into this world, and through my suffering, death, and resurrection, I have paid the price for their sin. If they then will receive me into their hearts, I will forgive them their sins and restore them into fellowship with the Father. Can't you hear him saying that? What kind of an expression do you think would be on his face? I think he would be smiling. I think there would be a pleading expression that could be seen there. I think you could feel love just coming out. And he would say, you know, the Father wants all people to be saved, and I am the way, and that's why he has sent me. So your responsibility to that person is to tell him about me. But there's another part of this witness, and that is that as a Christian, your life is not an offense to other people. And he talks about the little ones. Now, who are the little ones? Well, they could very well be the children in our homes, couldn't they? Or it could be those who are young in the faith. The little child, for example, who sees his father or mother go into one rage after another at home. The little child who sees his father pray in church, but curse him in the confines of their home when things are not going right. The mother, for example, who says that she is a loving person and tries to give that expression in her context in the society, can viciously attack another person, and the child can see hatred coming from the one that she loves so much. Could it be that they might say, how can you act this way when you are a Christian? You see, this is what our Lord is talking about. Woe to that person who brings offense to one of these little ones. The little ones can also be those who are young in the faith. Even some of those who are staunch in the faith. We are our brother's keeper. Now that was first said by God in his dialogue with Cain. Cain came back and asked the question, am I my brother's keeper? And you remember that God turned around and said, yes, you are. Well, friend, you recall that Peter and Paul had quite a discussion one day. It's recorded in the second chapter of Galatians. Paul was appalled at Peter's hypocrisy. The Jewish people had some ceremonial laws that dealt with their diet. They were not supposed to eat any pork. Let's just leave it at that for simplicity. And so when the Jews went around, then Peter was free to eat anything they put before him. But when they came around, then he began to use all kinds of excuses for not eating with the Gentiles. He was very careful what he ate. And the Gentiles, who were new converts to the Christian faith, began to ask, what's going on here? This man has two kinds of behavior. A behavior when he's with the Jews, and another kind of behavior when he's with us. We can't understand it. We are offended. And so Paul goes to Peter, and he says to him, Peter, this is not the way. Your behavior is so offensive to these new Christians that you are a stumbling block to them. Stop it. And I think that he would say it kindly, but very forthrightly, if he sat in our little group for 20 minutes and talked about what our relationship was with others. We are to tell them the story of Christ. We're also to make sure that we are not an offense to our Lord Jesus. Now then, a second question I would like to ask him would be this. Should I talk to my friends, my family, about their sinful behavior if it is very obvious? And our Lord Jesus Christ would have said, yes, but why do you ask me such a question as this? And you would reply back, well, you know, the counsel that I get in my day, and which is a part of my culture, is that's none of your business how another person lives, as long as he is not hurting you or someone else. This person has a right to live as he pleases. Obviously, if it is really hurting, then imagine, or you put somebody else's life in danger, then imagine you ought to go to him. But otherwise, forget about it. What would you say, Jesus, to this? Do I have a right to use the vernacular to stick my nose into another person's business? Should I accept the philosophy of my day that everything goes? Now, let me tell you, Jesus, I have a neighbor who is very unfaithful to his wife. She knows nothing about it. But sooner or later, she's going to get hurt. Now, what do you think that I ought to do? Or Jesus, what shall I do when I talk with my daughter? She has told me that she is living with a man. They are not married. I personally believe that cohabitation is sin. I know it says that in your word. But for the life of me, I do not want to isolate my daughter. What do I do when she comes home with this man? In the confines of my own home, do I permit them to share the same bedroom? See, this is a question that I would ask Jesus. It's a kind of a practical one, too. It's one that many parents are facing in these days, and grandparents as well. What about it if you have a neighbor who has two lovely children? In so many ways, the neighbor is just an excellent father or mother. The children get everything that they need and then some. They're going to be well educated. There's love in their home. Except that that parent shows no interest in the spiritual life of that child. Sunday comes and they don't go to church. Maybe they'll find their way to a church on some holidays. But otherwise than that, in the United States of America, with a church on nearly every corner, their children are growing up as pagans. I'm in pretty good relationship with this neighbor. What should I do? I've invited the child to church. They have not accepted the invitation. Should I really go further? Should I tell him what a mistake he is making? And our Lord Jesus Christ would say, yes, you should. Listen to this. If your brother sins, then rebuke him. That's kind of plain language, isn't it? What if I lose my friend? What if my neighbor turns his back on me? Well, in the 20-minute conversation with Jesus, one-third of that hour that you're afforded, he said, this is the answer. You go to him. You remember way back in the Old Testament, David committed that sin with Bathsheba? What happened to the man by the name of Nathan? Nathan went to David, and he described a man who was stealing from another person. And then he said to David, you know what you have done? You have stolen against Bathsheba's husband. You have taken his wife. You have sinned against God. That was a very severe rebuke. And the reason for this is that your loved one will not be destroyed, but that he will go on and correct that behavior, and that he will become a real person in Jesus Christ. That's the purpose for it. It's not to cause an argument. It's not to be obnoxious. It is just that you are so concerned about that loved one that you want to talk to him or her. Even in a day that says, well, gloss it over, you want to talk to him or her about the relationship with God and what he has said in his word. And here is my third question in this 20-minute conversation. Jesus, how long do I forgive this person who is so offensive to me? Again and again, it seems that he doesn't hear what I'm saying to him. He just wants me to forgive him. He's my employee, but he certainly is not very faithful in so many different ways. Well, what is it that our Lord Jesus will say to you there in that 20-minute conversation? He says, if he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, then you forgive him. And I imagine that it would be natural, since Jesus is there and he says we can talk about anything, that you'd say, but listen, how long do you keep on forgiving? And Jesus turns around and says, when the person is repentant, sin is there, but forgiveness with God is unlimited. If it is unlimited as far as God is concerned, is it not limited as far as we are concerned? Now, that's a hard one. We're not prone to forgive that often and that much. Oh, we'll give him a second chance. But Jesus now in the conversation is saying, well, that's the legalism of your day. But with God, forgiveness is unlimited. Going back to the story of David and his sin against Bathsheba and Uriah, you remember after Nathan had confronted him with his sin, that he had committed adultery, that he had committed murder in having Uriah killed? After Nathan had really talked to David about that, David says, I have sinned. I have sinned against God. And Nathan comes back with the absolution. God has forgiven you, David. That's what you're to do. You're to continue to bring out this message of the grace of God. You are to continue to let that person know that Jesus Christ has atoned for the sins, and it doesn't mean that we live in sin and love it. But when our faith and our trust is in him, and we are truly repentant, he will forgive us. And generally speaking, when that relationship is that strong, you don't have to worry about him coming back and living in that sin again and again and again. Well, that's one side of this talk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first 20 minutes. Now note, whether it was walking to Jerusalem with his disciples as Jesus was doing on that day, or talking to Christians through his word, as he talks with us today, his answers are very specific. And you had 3 of them in this word that he gave you for our sermon today. Tune in next Sunday, will you? We'll continue this hour conversation with our Lord when for 20 minutes we ask him if he will give us more faith. Amen.
Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy throne. As thou hast sought, so let me seek thy erring children lost and lone. O, fill me with thy grace.
Lord Jesus, how anxious you are to talk with us. How anxious you are to give us good counsel, that as those who have been redeemed by you, that we are our brother's keeper, that we are to remind them of that glorious message of your saving grace. We are not to be an offense to them. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will give us the grace to be able kindly but firmly to rebuke those who sin against you. And then, Lord, we also pray that we may be the first to ask that they hear clearly in Christ their sins are forgiven. Thanks, Lord, for this 20 minutes of conversation with us today. It's only the beginning of a conversation that one day when we get to heaven, we can have face to face with you and hear these same truths coming because you love us so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We are supported by free will gifts from our listening audience. We thank each of you for your prayers for our ministry and your financial support. October is calendar month for Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you a free year 2002 calendar. This nature calendar displays beautiful four-color scenes from a beach in Hawaii to the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. A different, inspiring Bible verse is featured each month. To receive your free calendar, just call our toll-free number 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We will need your name, mailing address, and the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number again is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons can be read or printed. Complete recordings of the latest programs can also be heard at your convenience. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.